have an army. We have a Hulk.
Welcome to episode 141 of We Have a Hulk podcast, where we talk all things film and TV. I'm one half of the podcast, Nicola.
And I'm co-pilot Chris.
And how are you doing today, Chris?
I'm a nice lovely day, Nicola.
Oh, it's absolutely beautiful.
Yeah, doing my patio and all.
such a man thing to do, isn't it?
It is, yeah. How are you doing, Nicola?
I am very well, thank you. This is my lunch break, so probably going to be a shorter sort of episode, but I'm very excited to talk about what we're going to be talking about in this week's
episode, which is Loki. Yeah.
Yes.
Good. Let's jump into it then, shall we?
Okay, right. So At Home with the Hulk, so what have you been watching, reading and doing the past couple of weeks, and Chris?
Well, we'll go over the TV, shall we?
Oh, TV.
Solar Opposites.
Okay, yeah. That is, we finished season two now.
Yeah.
Really how good. Did you find this?
Love it. I love the show so much.
Well, how would you... Okay, that's Rick and Morty or Solar Opposites?
Rick and Morty.
Oh, okay.
I think. Yeah. But I just love that this is just like stream of consciousness madness.
It is escalated this season, hasn't
it? Yeah, it really has. Whereas, I really enjoy it. It's good.
Okay.
But
I love it. I love how it's gone more into the wall as well. Like behind the wall and that. I just love that bit so much. And then obviously the pupa. Pupa's great. Won't say anymore, but yeah, loved it.
Good stuff. Bad Batch,
yeah. 5 episodes, I think we've seen now, 4 or 5.
Sure.
It feels very Mandalorian, as in we go to a new planet, we got something to do, and then we go on to another one.
Maybe that's partially why I'm enjoying it.
Maybe. Although they have made a new like bounty hunter friend, haven't they?
Yes.
So they get sort of missions and bounties from that person,
right?
Which has kind of given it a bit more of a steer rather than the whole planet hopping. But yes,
maybe. Yeah, it's good. I'm liking that it's more set in the Star Wars that I remember as the best Star Wars.
Oh,
so. Well, you know, like time period wise.
Yes.
Should I say that? I don't know if I said that. Yeah, I think it's good. I mean, I don't love the animation, but otherwise, it's
fine. Yeah. Okay.
Sweet Tooth?
Yes. We've seen the whole first season. Love this. Thought it's so good. I've read the comics, well, some of the comics, and boy, is it darker. So
yeah, I mean, the show seemed pretty dark to me. Like, it comes across as so whimsical to start with. Like, it's a really fantasy idea that you have kids with.
Hybrids.
Freaking
deer.
Snouts and deer ears and stuff. Deer ears? Yeah, deer ears.
Deer antlers.
Deer antlers.
And ears, yeah, okay. Yeah.
But then, yeah, it's pretty dark, but it's a very good show, and I'm excited for more.
Yes, yeah, I can't wait for season two. I mean, is it a spoiler to say there's a big cliffhanger?
No.
It always irritates me when there's always a cliffhanger and you're like, is it going to be renewed?
Oh, man, if they don't renew it.
No. How can they not, though? It's such a good show. And I mean, the production values, it was filmed in, surprisingly, New Zealand. But you can tell, like, just the setting. They've spent quite a lot of money on this. And I'm thinking, saying that, they've not renewed Jupiter's Legacy, which is interesting. So we'll see. But yeah, no, it's a good one. It's definitely more family friendly, I would say. They've lent more into the whole whimsical fantasy rather than the post-apocalyptic. But there are some darker aspects to it.
I feel like it's going there. It definitely has that side to it, for sure. Panic.
Yes, Panic at the Disco. Panic at the Dagobah. How are you finding Panic?
I am quite enjoying it. There is a little bit of that kind of teen drama element. Mm-hmm. But I think they focus more on the games, which is good, and I'm enjoying that. So
This surprised me, you see, because I watched the first 3 episodes and I was like, Chris won't like this. It's very YA teen drama.
You basically told me. I asked you about it and you were like, oh, don't watch it.
Don't worry, it's fine.
You should be making decisions for me.
Sorry. But yeah, it's much more interesting when you actually get into the game and sort of who's behind the game and why. I like that central mystery.
Hard to imagine them going any further with it.
Yeah.
Once you find everything out, like it.
I feel like it could be a one and done sort of thing.
Yeah, it's going to be a one and done sort of thing. Been catching up on some Supernatural. Well, not catching up.
Oh, yes.
Started it again.
Rewatching.
Rewatch. Bought it on Boy on Apple.
Mm-hmm.
We've just been sort of going through some of that. Sort of some way into season two at this point, I think.
I want Castiel. When does Castiel come into it? And
Mark.
Yes. What's his also name? You were going to say Castiel, though, weren't you? Not Lucifer, other blokey. Although Lucifer does come into it. Crowley, that's the one. I just love their dynamic and how he calls thingy.
Moose.
Wow, that's the one. Wow,
on top form today.
I know. You know, thingy.
You've been watching some Lucifer.
Lucifer? What in Lucifer? Yes, season 5, part B. Yeah, setting some things up part for... B. Yes, they split it into A and B, like Vikings did. I don't know why. Well, the thing was, they were only greenlit for one last season, but they split it in two, and then they were like, actually, we'll renew it for another one last season. So... But it's been interesting. I just love the cast, and I think they're really great. It can get a bit silly and a bit procedural, but you should know that by now, after 5 seasons. But it does set some big things up for the last season. So, yeah, I'm intrigued. Colour me intrigued.
Okay. Yeah, I haven't seen any of that. But, you know,
not your bag, really.
Not really. You watched some Love, Simon?
Yes, Love, Victor.
Love, Victor, season 2.
Yes. Which is a spin-off of Love, Simon. So, fair enough. I love it, yeah. I've seen four episodes of season 2, and it's really sweet, and it's Victor and Benji and their new relationship and navigating parents and that kind of thing. It's an interesting one.
Is it a bit team drama-y, or is it?
Well, yes. Obviously, it's set at high school and it's about relationships and things.
But is it like that kind of awful teen drama where they just constantly...
Not awful teen drama. There's a bit of drama, but, you know, it's mainly more about relationships and navigating through sexuality and high school and family. And
It's got a bit of depth.
It's got a bit of depth, yeah. That's and there's some interesting cameos. Ooh, exciting. So, yes.
Superman and the Lois Lane.
Oh, this is really the Lois Lane. Superman and Lois.
Okay.
Yes. Sure. This is really surprisingly good, actually.
Yeah, I watched the first episode and thought, this is actually really good.
Yeah.
It's a CW, isn't it? Which surprised me. And then I think it was the second or third episode. I just couldn't get on with it. It was awful.
Surprising.
I don't know if they used a different director or something, but it was just terrible.
Right, okay.
It was a bit hit and miss for me.
They've had some very interesting developments.
I stopped, so...
Yeah, you should have carried on.
You just watch it without me.
Yeah, but you were like, I don't want to watch it.
I probably did say that, but still.
Okay. Maybe we'll go back and rewatch it for you. Anyway, there's some interesting developments with Lex Luthor.
Okay.
And also Lois Lane. I think her name's Elizabeth Tulloch. But she had an episode and it was fantastic. And she blew everyone else out the water. So fair play.
Interesting. Mayor of Easttown is another
one you watched. Oh my gosh, this was so good. Definitely not your bag. Okay. I think you walked in on a few occasions of me watching it and you're like, what is this?
I think I could have watched it. But I don't think it was really for me.
So. No. Well, it was very dark, and I know you're not really into sort of dark procedural crime, small town drama.
Not my thing, to be honest with
you. But it was just so good. Kate Winslet was fantastic, and she is phenomenal. Phenomenum. She refused to be airbrushed, and she refused to have certain like makeup and things and enhancements, shall we say.
She looked normal.
Yeah.
She looked like a person.
Also, Guy Pearce, they managed to make look normal, which is also very weird. But it just felt very real and very genuine. And it was about people working through trauma and pain. And it was very raw, but just so well done. And the older lady from Legion's in it, and she was fantastic. She's doing some amazing shows at the moment. So, yeah. Cool. I don't know. It's supposed to be a limited series. I think in the UK you can watch it on Sky or Now. But it's potentially maybe renewed for a second season if both the director and Kate Winslet think that a fitting story can be done for a second season, because it ended so well and I don't think they want to sort of ruin it with a sequel.
We've been talking about TV for 10 minutes.
Sorry.
So let's move on to film.
Yes.
The first one I put here is Bo Burnham.
Yes. Is this a film or a TV special?
So I don't know what it is, but it's good. It's good. Okay. I really enjoyed this.
It surprised me that you enjoyed this. You missed some of the start, so you should probably watch it again.
I should probably watch the whole thing.
Yes.
But yeah, I love how he did it all on his own. And
it was very creative.
He was very creative.
It was written by, produced by, lighting by, created by Bo Burnham. And he's only 30. What the hell?
I think previously I've struggled to get on with him because he looks so young. Right. Like in this, he looks a bit more disheveled. He's got his long beard and everything.
Yes.
But still, yeah, he's incredibly young and that is incredibly annoying. Mm. But it's great. I loved all the songs. And,
yes, the song's great.
He produced the video really well.
The lighting was fantastic. I don't know how he did it. It was all like a one-man thing, really. But yeah, it's definitely an interesting one. It's not, I wouldn't put it as straight up comedy. It's more a sort of introspective sort of breakdown around the pandemic, really, isn't it? Let's be honest.
It feels like his kind of vibe is he likes to kind of dig. He can't dig for things.
Like it's comedy, but it's sort of more interesting and abstract. I don't know. Yeah.
We watched Nobody at Cineworld.
Yes. What did you think of this?
It was interesting. It's very much going off the kind of John Wick vibe.
Yes. So it's Bob Odenkirk from Better Call Saul.
Yeah.
And he basically was a, I don't know, like a hitman or assassin or something like that. He's like a...
Spoilers.
Is it a spoiler? I'm pretty sure it's in the adverts.
Okay.
Trailers, adverts. But yeah, he's basically living a sort of standard life, isn't he? He's a father, he goes to work every day. It's very repetitive in the sense that it has editing that...
I liked how they did that. That reminded me of Preacher. Like with the
Big titles.
Yeah. And then getting quicker and quicker and stuff. That kind of reminded me of Preacher or something. Is it Preacher? Something like that. Yeah, it's really interesting. But I don't know. I never really warmed to him, maybe...
Yeah, I know what you mean.
I liked him, but I don't understand if we're supposed to like him or not, because there's a bit at the start where he kind of goes a bit crazy.
Mm.
It doesn't necessarily feel completely justified.
It wasn't warranted, exactly. Yeah.
And then I feel like it needs to feel justified.
Yes, I agree. Go off the rails.
Go off the rails.
Like you did.
To such an extent.
Yes.
Yeah.
But it is bonkers and it is a lot of fun. But it's very punchy-punchy for no real reason. I don't know. It just feels very,
I mean, yeah, that's okay.
But there is a sense someone who does steal the show and it's great to see them in the film.
Yes.
So look out for a certain cameo as a father. An
old gentleman.
Yes.
We watched Godzilla again at Showcase.
Yes. Godzilla vs. Kong. So, another punchy. Lovely. Recliners.
Yeah, definitely worth seeing on the big screen, that one.
Yes.
We also, you went to see Quiet Place 2.
Yes, you need to see this. You enjoyed the first one, didn't you?
Yeah.
Mm. This one sort of builds upon that and expands a little bit more. Again, it's always like super duper tense. But I feel like they've ramped up the whole sort of from the daughter's perspective, and she's deaf, so obviously there's a lot of time when there's no noise at all, and then the next minute it's like loads and loads of noise, and it's like whoa. So yeah, that's an interesting one. It is very good. I don't know, did they say that there was going to be a spin-off or something? I'm not sure that they, I mean, there could be a third, but I think it ended in a good place, so
okay. Yeah, I'm excited to see this. I'll probably just watch it on the stream.
I feel like you do need to watch it at a cinema though.
I don't like those big jumpy moments though.
Oh, but it's good.
Okay, maybe.
Definitely for the sound production.
You also watched the Conjuring films?
I did, yes. I have been catching up on them. So Patrick Wilson and Vera, I can never say her last name, but she's really, really good. The Conjuring films, obviously it's horror. There's been spin-offs like The Nun and Annabelle, which I am not going to watch because they look terrifying. But these ones I can kind of deal with, but just mainly because... at the end of the day, it's almost like a sort of a love story.
Interesting.
Weirdly enough. But with ghosts and haunted house and stuff.
Yeah, I can't handle
that. But those two are just so good. And I would just watch the third one at the cinema. Go me. I feel very proud of myself. Well, thank you very much. It wasn't as good as the first two. Still, the first one is my favourite. But this one felt that there were a couple of plot holes. So if you want to talk about that, do DM me and I'll have a chat with you about that.
Interesting.
But yeah, I am intrigued. We'll see. There hasn't been any plans for a fourth yet, but I'm sure there will be.
Okay, yeah, I can't watch them. That'll just make me paranoid. Yeah. Like,
turn all the lights on.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Also, we've been watching a lot of YouTube. We watch a lot of YouTube, so I feel like we should mention it.
Okay,
yes. We like sort of travel channels and mm-hmm. stuff, and we watch things like King in It, Craig and Amy, hilarious.
Welsh.
Welsh guys, yeah.
They're probably the most genuine and real YouTubers out there.
I love that about them. There's just an honesty to them, which I really enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole kind of van life thing is something that we've looked into.
It's
well,
funny because they're like van life wankers. They actually say that.
Yeah. Okay, Portugal is another one. They kind of up sticks and moved to Portugal, bought a farm.
From Britain. And
I love the idea.
Yeah.
Just being like, so do you and your 9 to 5, I'm going to Portugal. Yeah, that's brilliant. Indie Projects, another one. They've also moved to Portugal.
Yeah.
So there's a bit of a
theme
there.
It's a bit of a theme, yeah.
Cara and Nate, they're another van life duo.
They're doing all the states of America at the moment, road trip.
Yeah, good stuff.
Yeah.
Enjoying all those. Let's talk about what we've been doing then.
Super duper quickly.
So we went to Chester
for
your friend's birthday, 30th birthday. And we also, from there, went to Liverpool for a day, which was
a day trip.
Did a Beatles bus tour. Super
touristy.
And then
the docks were super nice. Just an FYI,
it's quite a small city.
I was quite surprised. Yeah.
We also walked around Chester, and they have really nice canals there.
Oh, Chester's lovely. Yes.
Very lovely.
And walls and things. Yeah.
Had a disastrous meal at Peter Express. That sort of thing.
Yes.
We've been running around on our e-bikes. We've got e-bikes.
Yes. No, that's quite exciting.
That's pretty exciting.
We sound super old. No. Everyone's always like, you have e-bikes. That's just really lazy. And I'm like, no, because we do more with them.
Yeah. We go around it faster. It's great fun. we're riding around our local reservoir, Draycott Water.
Yes. 5 mile. We do a couple of laps.
5 miles. We do a couple of laps, in an hour. I don't think that's super quick, but it's. I think I'm getting more confident because I don't think I've ridden a bike since I was a child. So I'm having to kind of get back into the rhythm of it.
But, yeah.
It's good stuff. And you went to a screening of In the Heights.
I did, yes. Thanks to Neil from Kaiku.
Yes.
And it was very good. I think we're going to go and see it again on Friday for the Cineworld Unlimited screening. So that's exciting. Definitely best to watch it on, a big screen because it's, big productions, big song and dances. And the sound, you need to sort of appreciate that.
Experience it.
Yes.
You've been reading Shadow and Bone as well.
I have.
This is a bad thing.
I've nearly finished it. I finished 1984, finally. That took me so long. And I think Chris will be reading that.
Yeah, it's 1984. That's exciting.
Mm.
Seems like my kind of vibe.
It does. Your bag. So. Okay, then. So, on to the review. Ooh. Lucky!
We protect the proper flow of time. You picked up the Tesseract breaking reality. I want you to help us fix it.
Right, let's review Loki, shall we?
Mm-hmm.
So the synopsis is, I've just written this out because the one on IMDb was rubbish.
It was rubbish. Very vague.
So following the events of Endgame, Loki escapes capture with the Tesseract. But this doesn't sit with the plan crafted by the Timekeepers.
Timekeepers in the TVA, so the Time Variance Authority.
Which is a group which monitors and corrects variations in the timeline. And they take him into custody, and that's kind of where we start.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Interesting kind of concept.
Yeah.
I think we need to give a little bit of context. On where it fits with the other shows in the MCU.
Yes, that makes sense.
So it starts in Endgame, where the Avengers time travel back to the events of the
the little heist sort of Avengers fun movie. Sequence.
Yes. And in the lobby scene, the briefcase with the Tesseract is fumbled, and then Loki can't believe his luck, and he uses it to escape, kind of thing. And that's, I think this is perfect, because that felt like such an important moment in that movie.
Yes.
But it was never really even acknowledged
that
he kind of escaped with the Tesseract.
That everyone was like, we'll just sort of carry on with whatever we were doing.
Yeah, so it just feels like this big kind of thing that kind of hangs over you, like, what the hell happened there?
Yeah.
So, of course, he dies as well, doesn't he, Loki, at the start of Infinity War. Is it Infinity War?
Yeah.
And that always felt a bit weird to me. That whole scene was a bit like, this really happened like this?
Yeah.
You know he's a bit mischievous.
Well, because he's like one of the first casualties, isn't he? And it was a bit like, well, he's just sort of had a bit of a redemption arc.
Yeah.
And he's going to sort of help lead Asgard with his brother.
Yeah.
And then he gets killed off.
Also, he can do sort of like weird tricksy things,
yeah.
can't he? So it does make me wonder, kind of, is that real and that kind of thing?
Yeah.
And
would Tom Hiddleston really walk away from the MCU?
Yeah. And so I'm wondering if these two things are tied together somehow, basically. I'm wondering if this could be explained somewhat in the show, and if it could have some good tie-ins, that would be really cool.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's my context there.
Okay. So obviously we've had WandaVision, and then we've had Falcon and the Winter Soldier, and now Loki. And I feel like this sits a bit more with WandaVision in a similar sort of vein?
No.
No? Okay.
I don't agree, but sure. It's more of a creative kind of...
It's definitely a bit more out there like WandaVision was. That's what I was going for.
Okay, sure.
It's definitely a lot different to anything that Marvel's done before, right?
Agree.
Okay.
Okay, so thoughts going in and coming out then. You go.
Okay.
What are your thoughts?
So I was intrigued to see how they were going to pull this off, because obviously he died in Endgame, and I'm pretty sure Hiddleston was saying, I'd only come back for a really good sort of meaty project sort of thing.
Right.
And I love Loki. I think he's one of the most sort of intriguing villains the MCU's had. So I was really excited about this. And I've watched the trailers and they were a bit like, WTF, what is this all about sort of thing. So I was like, I'm intrigued. Come and be intrigued, as they say. But yeah, after watching the first two episodes, I'm all in. All in. I want to find out more. There seems to be a lot of questions that have hooked me in. And yeah, I can't wait for the next episodes. But I can't believe it's only six.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
That's probably a good thing.
Yeah, I suppose. But weekly, again, it's going to be like WandaVision, because I know you weren't a huge fan, Chris, but I loved it. And I was like, I've got to wait a whole another week for in the next episode. So I'm hoping it won't be as like cliffhanger-y as WandaVision.
Yeah, I mean, for me, WandaVision looked weird in the trailers, and then I watched it and it turned out to be weird. And
not your kind of weird.
Yeah, I like weird things, but this isn't my kind of weird. I think it was creative conceptually, but it didn't really work for me.
Like, yeah, it didn't really kind of pay off at the end, but it has sort of set up a lead into, like, Multiverse of Madness.
That's cool.
Which,
yeah, that was my favourite thing about it, was how it ended.
Yeah. I liked the end. I liked it when it ended. Which I feel like this will tie in directly to Multiverse of Madness.
That's cool, yeah.
And Spider-Man 3.
I think WandaVision wasn't that interesting story-wise for me. Kind of creatively interesting, but it didn't really work for me.
Okay, that's cool.
Falcon and the Winter Soldier felt a bit more like it fit in with the movies.
Yes.
And it started strong, and it ended strong, but the journey was pretty weak, in my opinion.
Yes.
There's some nice ideas, maybe, but not brilliantly executed.
Yeah, I think the whole pandemic sort of ended a potential storyline that was already written in there. So I think that was potentially sort of fumbled out.
That might be why it was fumbled. Okay. I was definitely more excited with this one than the other ones.
Mm-hmm.
And it feels a bit more high concept.
Yeah, for sure.
Which is what I'm into. I love that. And it fits in with my favourite movies of the MCU as well.
Oh, it's so snobby, me.
Oh, very snobby, very snobby, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And yeah, the first two episodes blew me away a little bit.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
Really, really like it. Mm. But...
Oh, there's a but.
Well, I need to be careful, because I also really like the first episode of, like, Winter Soldier.
I know, this is the problem.
Yeah.
Because for Winter Soldier, I think we got the first two episodes for that as well. And I was like, the first two are really good, so I think I gave it like a 4-star review,
right,
and I was like,
I'm really excited about this,
and then it sort of went
so that has me a little bit concerned, but then if this is only 6 episodes, and it's hard to imagine them
that is
bumbling
true.
It from there,
yes,
right?
And so, any filler episodes of
exactly it can't be any filler episodes
but
six episodes.
I feel like the concept for this, they could go literally anywhere with
this,
so how can it go wrong?
Well, that's a good thing, but also a bad thing. It might be
it
could be too much option.
Okay,
get a little bit muddy or something. Yep. I don't know. I will also say that for me, time travel stuff and multiverse stuff is hard to get right.
Yes.
And so there is a chance there that they'll mess it up, well, just based on how difficult the subject matter is.
Let's phrase it a different way. Chris is not the biggest fan of, say, Doctor Who.
I mean, I liked it at one point. I just think it got rubbish.
So you have preconceived notions to when TV does time travel.
Well, I don't think you take Doctor Who that seriously.
Yeah.
But if you're doing a serious like movie or something, I think you have to try and get it right. Like, it's sci-fi, right? With sci-fi, it's got to be science-y to some degree.
Yeah, they have done time travel before, though. Like, obviously in Avengers.
Yeah.
Endgame.
That's a movie as well.
Oh, like, but it's the same universe.
Same universe, but bigger budgets, perhaps.
Oh, okay.
You know, I don't know. I'm optimistic. So, we're both into it. I think we can say that.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about characters and performances,
yes.
Shall we? Not too many characters and stuff, so far.
No, which I quite like, actually. Strip it down a bit more.
But interestingly, a cursory glance at IMDb cast list suggests we might get some interesting appearances.
Yes. So that's cool. There's a couple of people that haven't popped up yet, which I'm intrigued to see.
Yeah, Richard D. Grant was awesome.
Yes, that's the biggie. That's the one I'm really intrigued in.
Yeah. That's cool. So Mr. Hiddleston then.
Yes.
He's Loki, isn't he? So it's good.
What more can you say?
I mean, he still seems like Loki, so that's fine.
I think it's interesting, though, because obviously this is a variant, so it's not the Loki we know. He's been through all this big old journey throughout the MCU. But
you don't know that. So he wouldn't have seen future things that he might have done yet, but he might do them in this show, and then they're all sort of in our past.
Okay, what my point was...
This is my point about time travel being complicated.
Okay. But what my original point I was trying to say not the anti-hero, but sort of almost hero, redemptive Loki that we know that got killed. This is now him back to Avengers, the first film, and he's very contempt and snidey and that kind of version.
He has the mannerisms of later Loki.
No, earlier Loki rather than later Loki.
So you think in this show, Loki, he's more of the original Loki?
Yes, that's what I'm trying to say. He's more of the villainous, more interesting.
That makes sense, because then if he does go on this time travel story, it might change him in the way that we see in the movies.
Yes, okay. Anyway, he has more fun with that sort of version of Loki, I believe.
Okay,
And it's interesting to see him. He's still with the heart, I'm burdened with glory and all this, but and he still thinks he's this really big...
Okay, sure.
And obviously, he's just failed in Avengers and he's been caught, but he clearly doesn't have any hubris and he doesn't take notion of, you know, that he's failed.
Is that what that means?
Yeah, oh, that's true.
Anyway, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So it's fun. It's fun. And to see him sort of brought down to, he's like, I'm a god. And they're like, we don't care, sort of thing. So he's definitely sort of found his match with the TVA, I believe. Mm. And I absolutely love his dynamic with Owen Wilson, who's like the complete opposite to him, isn't he? He's like super charming and... Whereas Loki's still up to his cunning ways. But, like, the funny thing is about Mobius and Mobius, I believe his name is.
Yes.
He knows him. He knows him inside out. He's watched his whole life. And he knows that he's going to betray everyone. And he's like, Loki, I'm going to stomp you there. And I don't believe you.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't trust you. And he's like, but I can change. And he's like, no. Which is what I really like.
But then he is a variant, so he can.
Well, that is true. That is true. I mean, they are doing some interesting things where they are sort of... they basically presented him with what his future timeline will be, and he basically had to go through, you know, failures and emotion. Yeah, it was unexpectedly emotional at times.
Okay. And you mentioned Owen Wilson. Let's talk about I'm really happy that
he was
saying, wow. I actually wrote that down. I really love him as an actor.
Yes.
It's nice to see them bringing in some like quality actors into the TV universe. That kind of.
I never would have pegged him as like being in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. It's a very sort of left field pick, but I think it really works.
Agree. I'm excited to see more.
Mm. He's just really charming. He's just like really laid back as well, isn't he? It's just like, yeah, no, I don't trust you.
for someone who's supposed to be basically interrogating him.
Yeah. Like, yeah, he's supposed to be quite a higher operative, if I remember rightly. Yeah.
This is part of what you were saying. I'm excited to get these answers about what the characters are like and stuff.
Yes.
That's cool. There's another character in it that we both enjoyed, Gugu Mbatha-Raw.
Mm-hmm. The Hunter 54, is that her name?
I'm not sure who she played. But she's one of the TVA agents, and she was really funny in it.
Sorry, Hunter B-15.
Okay.
Yes.
A badass.
I think she's another high-ranking sort of hunter, because you've got agents and you've got hunters. In the TVA. And yeah, no, she's great. She has like a good toe-to-toe with Loki, and I'm like, yeah, go girl. You got this.
Good stuff.
She's really good.
That's pretty much it for the characters really at the moment.
Oh, sorry. No, Gugu plays a judge, Ravona Renslayer. And then you got Wonmi Mosaka is the Hunter B-15. Sorry, okay. I was reading my notes the wrong way around. But yeah, no, they're both really great. There's quite a high... percentage of women actually in this, I've noticed, which is good. I'm liking that. Yes. Also Miss Minutes. That character's, you'll see from the posters, she's like the animated clock on the poster, and everyone was like, what is that? But no, she's really fun. She's a funny character, and
that visual stuff is really cool.
Yes.
Let's talk about story.
Okay. Yes.
So we've already mentioned it ties into the MCU in movies, which is exciting.
Yeah.
The idea of going after variants and stuff sounds fun.
Yes.
I'm excited for that.
And you could go through universes and time and space.
The sky's the limit.
Yeah, exactly.
And I like the idea that each universe has its own Loki, and they would all be variants because they're Loki, right?
And so, some of the variants are very interesting.
So you'll get female Lokis, you'll get, like, presumably giant Lokis and stuff.
Well, they really have, Marvel revealed that Loki is gender fluid. So, yeah, there are different versions throughout the variants.
Yeah, but I mean, you would expect that from a multiverse.
Oh, right? Yeah, for sure.
Different variations. Yeah, I just think the sheer scale and potential is a little mind-boggling.
Yeah.
So there's going to be time travel and multiverses in one, which is like two really complicated things. But
also, there's an intriguing sort of like almost detective mystery.
Yeah.
As well, which I'm intrigued about. They're hunting a particularly naughty variant of some description who it seems to not like the TVA and the Timekeepers and has taken umbrage to them and is wanting to bring them down.
It does have a bit of an old school detective story.
Yeah, kind of which vibe, I really like. Yeah.
It's very cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I'm hoping to get some more tie-ins from the movies as well. One thing that kind of got to me a little bit was, you know, it was kind of a funny thing. There was a certain item that he found a lot of.
Okay.
In
the TVA offices. Yeah.
And it kind of weakens the MCU.
The whole
bit.
MCU. Okay.
It kind of makes me think, well.
Really?
This is the problem with multiverses and stuff, is because then you get into that whole inflation situation where things start to be less valuable, and you start to think, well, why did we go through that whole difficult time period that was that very complicated things happen, and then it turns out that it wasn't really, there was no, do you know what I mean?
Yes. Anyway.
Yeah.
Yes.
But yeah. That's it. That's all I have for the story.
Also, you're missing sort of a big deal.
Okay, tell me.
Like, there's been obviously a lot of exposition in the first episode to set up the Timekeepers and the TVA and what the hell they actually are.
That's true.
And are the Timekeepers
good guys?
Yeah. Are they dictators? Who are they to say this is the right timeline, right?
Yeah, I was watching it and thinking, like, yeah, you guys, no, not having it.
Yeah.
I don't want you to tell me what to do. Who tells you? You can tell me what my timeline should be.
I know you have a thing with authority, Chris.
Yeah,
but no, what I'm questioning is this from the perspective of the good guys? Because don't they say, like, obviously history's written by the winners,
right?
But they could be sort of bad guys.
It's a big dictator, isn't it?
Yeah, so
well,
I'm intrigued.
It's interesting to see.
Yeah, so I kind of see why this person's taken umbrage towards them.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I would be a variant.
Oh, okay, intriguing.
I mean, if I had Loki's powers, I would be a variant.
Yeah.
Yeah, good stuff. Visuals, soundtrack, that sort of thing.
This is definitely an interesting one. It's probably the most unique.
Yes.
We're saying that, but WandaVision was like a sitcom, so that was also very unique.
It's a unique concept, but I think it was just completely ripping off old
true
shows. Yeah. So there was, in that sense, it wasn't anything new.
Okay, great.
Whereas this feels like a more new thing because it takes in a lot of different styles and stuff and influences, and it makes it a more interesting
rounded and complete.
I think.
Yeah, so it mainly takes place in the TVA offices, and it's quite bureaucratic, isn't it? And very sort of officey based. It's very intriguing because it's like a 60s, 70s inspired sort of retro set, isn't it?
Yeah.
There's a lot of like oranges, browns, yellow palettes. So there's some interesting sort of lighting going on as well.
The palette is very similar to Legion.
It is very much so. And also Mad Men. And do you remember in Umbrella Academy there was the Temps Commission?
Yeah.
That feels very similar because of the whole typewriters. There's something about the whole tech in this
as
well.
That whole agency was a very similar thing to this.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, it's very intriguing.
I like that the image seems to have a very dreamlike quality.
Yes,
edges almost feel kind of a little bit in a good way. It's sort of, it's a nice quality.
Yeah.
And I don't know if like that's lens filters or if they did that in post or something, but I think it looks great. And also shallow depth of field and stuff looks really cool as well. Yeah. There's presumably quite a lot of CGI going on, but I didn't really notice much of it apart from the obvious scenes where it's like, you know, future stuff. But it just looked really great, and it's great when you can't distinguish. I think that shows that it's really good quality.
So. Yeah. Also, there's an interesting sort of point, not point, but thing I noticed that is this feels very much like purgatory, potentially.
Oh, yeah, when they showed up. Yeah.
Yeah, so there's sort of, there's a really funny scene in episode one. It's like a waiting room and he has to go and pick a ticket and then there's a big old line and thing. And I'm like, this is what there's I feel purgatory could be. Yeah, there's a really good amount of comedy in it. I love this. But yeah, and also there's a lot of repetitive, like, looming statues of the timekeepers and things just in a lot of the scenes. So again, that sort of reinforces the fact that they could be like dictators. Are they actually real? Are they
just
got like
what to do with people?
Yeah,
it's quite interesting. Small thing. Okay, go.
What I was going to say, how they obviously move through time, the portals, is very much like obviously Doctor Strange. And
this
how
is literally what I was going to say.
Oh, was it? Oh, good. There we go. Yeah. You carry on then.
No, I agree. Yeah, like it's got that similar kind of orangey, glowy look, hasn't it? But it's more sort of geometric and refined.
For sure.
So it kind of reminds me of that phrase, any sufficiently advanced technology is indistinguishable from magic.
Oh.
The idea that in the future or whatever, the kind of magic and stuff that was part of Doctor Strange and everything has been, you know,
superseded.
Figured out like exactly how it actually works, and they've figured out how to make portals.
Yeah, because those portals were kind of raw, right? In Doctor Strange and stuff. Yeah, whereas this is very sort of rectangular and very much like a doorway.
Rectangular. Yeah, no, I thought that was really interesting.
It's just another nice tie, isn't it?
Nice little nod, yeah.
Yeah.
It's good. Cool, so give me a verdict then.
Oh, so.
We're there. We're
okay.
The verdict.
Well, what I we said it. Was there's an entertaining mystery wrapped in a time traveling adventure paired with expansive world building and creative production. Loki's off to a strong start. The concept opens the door for plenty of mischievous missions throughout the multiverse, linking directly with future installments of the MCU. It's great to see fan favourite Tom Hiddleston finally as the leading man, and the cheeky dynamic with Wilson's agent is a real highlight so far.
Very good. So how many thumbs are we talking here?
Wow, I give it 4 stars out of 5 on my review. If you want to go and check that out on the website, plug, plug. For the first 2 episodes, I give them 2 big thumbs up, but that's just for the first 2 episodes because we've been burnt before.
I'm with you. 2 thumbs up for me for the first 2 episodes.
Wow, big praise.
Really, really enjoyed it. Excellent stuff. Excited to explore the multiverse and hoping to get some tie-ins with the MCU. looking forward to finding out more about the TVA and the Timekeepers.
Yes, for sure.
And yeah, I think this show could be a game changer for them because like the previous 2 weren't super successful in my eyes, but this one could really...
They didn't really push the boundaries, did they? No. Oh,
this
obviously WandaVision did.
Feels much more like MCU quality from a TV show, which is really exciting. I think it could really allow them to go into much more high production stuff in the future. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the scope concerns me a little bit. Like I said before, like they might not be able to pull it off because of all the time travel and multiverses and stuff. But I'm optimistic, you know?
Yeah, you know, I'm excited. So. Like for alternate characters. I mean, it could set some interesting things up with other universes and bringing in like a new spider, old Spider-Man and things.
Interesting, interesting. Yeah.
Cool. Ooh. So I think that's a would recommend.
That's a definite would recommend from us.
And that debuts every week on a Wednesday, not a Friday, weirdly enough. But yeah.
Does it? So today, we're doing this on the Wednesday.
Yes.
Is that
first episode? Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Cool. And then I think it will be just weekly from Wednesdays.
Okay. Cool. We can just watch the first one. Too. We'll watch it.
We'll watch it again.
Else,
yeah.
Can't we?
Yeah. So thank you so much for listening to this episode. If you'd like to get in touch with us to speak about The Conjuring or Loki or anything you fancy, how do they go about doing that then, Chris?
Right, you can find us on Instagram and Facebook at WeHaveAHonkPod. We're also on Twitter, where we're most active, at WeHaveAHonk. You can check out some of Nicola's fantastic articles and reviews at our website, WeHaveAHonk.co.uk.
Mm-hmm. Brilliant. So what are we going to be talking about in the next episode then, Chris?
We're going to be talking about Lin-Manuel Miranda's new musical, In the Heights.
Yes. Which I'm very excited about. I'm intrigued to see your so you views really on it. I really enjoyed it. However, it was 2 hours and 20 minutes and it was a bit too long. Probably shaved 20 minutes off.
Okay, interesting.
That was my very, very quick summary.
Yeah, so you're happy to see it again then?
Yeah, for sure. I've been listening to the original soundtrack from the stage production this morning. And I don't know, there's just so much sort of
I have to say Lin-Manuel Miranda is great. Yes. Me, so I'm pretty excited about it as well. We'll see though. We'll see how the cookies crumble. What is the...
So once again, thank you so much for joining us. And we hope to see you next time.
Bye.